Good morning, Thomas Village and friends. It's good to be with you today. I pray that you've been able to enjoy the weather. What a beautiful, beautiful time of year it is. And just remember that God has given this to us. And praise God that if we got to be at home, at least we can be out in the yard piddling and doing something like that. But I am thankful that you're with us today. This morning we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 21, after we sing a song, I'm going to do some announcements for you. And during that time of announcements, I would like you to think about somebody that you can send a text to and ask them to be a part of our service today. And let them, I pray that they'll be blessed. And that's a way that you can serve the Lord in the midst of these times. But let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing page 484, Higher Ground, this morning. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, God, that you're on the throne today. And what a beautiful, beautiful day it is. What a beautiful day you gave us yesterday. And God, just knowing that, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have provided these days, we're aware that you have a purpose and a plan for our life. And even with this situation we find ourselves in, you have a reason for allowing it. And Lord, I praise you for that. Though it's not fun, it sometimes gets very frustrating, and Lord, things can come against us. And in the midst of the COVID stuff, God, there's still life that we have to deal with, jobs, the layoffs, different things like that, Lord. But God, you're still on the throne, and so I confess my sins before you today. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to be in our midst. And in number one, I pray that Christ be glorified above all. And we thank you and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Higher Ground, page 484. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. I was able to talk with Sister Nancy Roten, our piano player, this week, and I'll be glad when she's able to be back here and I won't have to hit them sour notes on my own. But God had put that song on my heart before I got out of bed this morning. And I'm thankful for that. And where it says that by faith, we've got to go on. We're in these times that we're really not sure how things are panning out, but by faith we press on. We will be in the book of Matthew chapter 21 this morning, but just want to kind of remind you of some things that is going on, some things that you can kindly help to not only pass time, but also grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing is, don't forget our Monday and Friday devotions at 6 p.m. Brother Paul Arwood did it for us Friday night, and it was kindly a test run for something we're going to be doing next Sunday. But this coming Monday at 6 o'clock, Brother K. Jesse will be delivering the time of devotion. So if you can, at 6 p.m., be a part of that. And then Sunday, this upcoming week, April the 12th, we're planning on having the drive-in Easter service here in our parking lot. And that was kindly what the test was Friday with the devotion. But as of right now, the drive-in church is not against the stay-at-home policy that Virginia has put out there. You can still come to the church. We've looked it up, just like you can still go get you something to eat and pick up your meals, different things like that. So pray about coming and be a part of us. Like I said, we've basically got it worked out where we'll be on Facebook at the same time as we're having a live service. But it'll be good to see you, even if it's from a distance. Then also check out the Thomas Village Baptist Church or the TVBC Awana Facebook page. There are weekly updates and activities that you can be a part of. Also, if you go to Silverleaf Baptist Church's Facebook page or you go to their YouTube page, you at 7 p.m. nightly, there is an internet revival. Brother Scott Gerald spoke at it last night, and he had had a pretty good day. God had put some anointed and appointed meetings in his path yesterday before he got in the pulpit. But also, I do ask you, if you do have praise reports or if you have prayer needs, please send them to us by Facebook message, or maybe you want to email them to the church's email. But what we need to hear from you. We want to hear from you. If God's blessing you, let us know. If there's something going on in your life that we can be praying for, let us know. There's a lot of stuff still going on, but we still have a God who is active in our daily life. And then also, I remind you of this, Lord willing, towards the end of this week, me and Amy will begin to call again just to touch base with some of our membership, make sure that you're doing all right and all that. But if you don't get a phone call from us and you need something, don't you hesitate to call me, call one of the deacons, Brother Otis, Brother Frank, Brother Ken. Y'all know the rest of them. If you don't, look into your old bulletins and that'll tell you who to call. But we can do things for you without having to have any contact with you. We can run you groceries. We can get you medicine. We can, even if you need to go to the hospital or to the doctor, we'll be willing to do that. So just be in prayer for that. And then tonight we'll be coming back together at 6 o'clock. Lord willing, the message will be the do's and don'ts of a donkey. The do's and don'ts of a donkey. So come be with us tonight. But before we go into our message, Matthew chapter 21, I'm going to ask Brother Otis Bowen if he would to come in and open us up with a word of prayer today.
Facebook land and also friends of the church and community, we're just thankful you're able to hear God's word today. I was telling my wife last night how much I missed just seeing people, just seeing your face and being able to speak to you or shake your hand or love on you. But we're prayerful that this is going to pass and that we'll recover, and it'll make us even more determined to serve the Lord and be in church and be in prayer. I know I've heard several people in the last few days talk about praying, and I've never heard them say that word out of their mouth before. And so I think people are getting serious about what they need to do in their lives, and I pray that if you're not serious, that The Holy Spirit will speak to you and make you serious. I don't think this is a coincidence that this has happened at this time. God permits things. He did through the Old Testament. He did through the New Testament. So things get permitted into our lives that we have to deal with, and it tests our faith. Our faith is small, we hide out. If our faith is great, we speak out. So out there, just pray for each other, check on each other, your friends, your neighbors, the aged, those that are having health issues. I've talked to two or three this week, and they're struggling just knowing what's out there and the uncertainty of it all. But I'm certain of one thing, and Paul tells us in his word, that I speak Jesus Christ and nothing else. I know Jesus Christ and nothing else. If I know nothing, I know Jesus Christ. So let's go to prayer this morning. Just pray in your heart, or you can pray out loud, or you can get your Bible and hold it. Maybe you'll feel some closer to our church and church family. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Just speak to the Lord. Father God, we just come this morning thanking you that you've given us an opportunity today and a beautiful day. As Pastor Brian said a while ago, a beautiful day yesterday. And you do give us beautiful things in our lives, but there are times in our lives when things are not so beautiful, when we're frustrated, we're tempted, we're aggravated. Lord, we're uncertain of what's going on. People in the grocery store, I was there yesterday, and there's parts of the aisles that are empty. The shelves are empty because people are panicking, worrying about this and worrying about that. And you tell us in your word not to worry. It doesn't add one minute or 1 minute to our lives. It gains nothing to worry. We've taken on things we don't even know about by worrying about tomorrow. We just live for today that you've given us, Lord, and we thank you for it. But Lord, we just ask you to be with our church family out there that may have needs, and people in our community that may have needs. People may have needs for food. If you have needs for food and you don't have food or money to buy food or a way to get purchased food, call Sister Donna. She's over the Hope Ministries. The number's in the phone book. Or you can call myself or the pastor or any of the deacons, and we'll get you some groceries. But Lord, we just ask you to be with each one in a special way. There's many in our prayer list that are sick, some that are in the hospital, some that are going to have surgeries. Lord, and you know each situation better than we do. We just pray, Lord, your blessings upon this day and upon this service and upon us, not for our goodness, but because our love for you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Otis. All right. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 21, we're going to be picking up in verse 12 there, but I do want to say two more things. Number one, I want to thank all of you that are continuing to give online, those that are bringing their tithe checks and offerings to us. We're thankful for that, and God's going to bless you in it. And then also, if you itemize, you can deduct all of that in your 2020 taxes. And even if you don't, up to $300 you can deduct. So to God be the glory there. Also, pray for me. I've got some kind of rash on my arms today. I'm not sure what it is. And then also, don't panic. You know, at this time, as far as I know, Russell County and Scott County have not had any sure cases of the COVID-19. Now, there's some scares and some things like that, but and even Lee County doesn't have that many. So God is still protecting us, and He's looking out for us today. But most of y'all know and recognize what this Sunday is. Today is what we call the triumphal entry, or more normally called the Palm Sunday. This is when Christ Jesus entered into Jerusalem for the last time. And we know that many gathered there that day. Some of the apostles went and got a donkey and threw their clothing on top of it so that Christ could ride in on the donkey. And then others, as he was coming in to Jerusalem, coming up to Jerusalem, that they throwed palm leaves down into the ground and their clothing, and they cried all types of praises to him. And so I kind of am going to keep in the theme of Resurrection Week. Usually, if it wasn't for a situation, we would be having Holy Week. And the good thing about that is I have the whole week to choose from now. I ain't got to worry about stepping on nobody's toes later on in the week, so I can do the whole week. And when we read our scripture this morning, I think that you're going to be very familiar with this passage. All right, Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were very sore displeased. Verse 16, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfect praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Cleaning House. Simply, Cleaning House. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, again, I come to you. Lord, I know that this is the third prayer that we've had today, but God, there is nothing greater that we can do in this time than pray and draw near unto you. And God, that's our desire today, this morning, as the message goes out over the many different ways. God, I just pray that through the Holy Spirit that you'll take your word and you'll use it to bring encouragement to some, to bring conviction to some, Lord, to exhort and build up others, Heavenly Father, Lord. Others, they may just need to hear your presence and feel your presence, and it may not even be through the Scripture itself, but just through their presence and your presence and seeking to be with you. So again, Lord, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come in and be a part of this service today. And I thank you, Lord, that you have promised where two or more are gathered, you'll be there. And so, God, it's in that name, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Now, yesterday I was able to take a little time. I didn't start my morning out this way. I started out, was going to mow at 10:30 yesterday morning, and for some reason, God didn't let me get the mower going until about 1:30. And so I made multiple trips into Duffield, and the policeman was sitting down at the end of the road, and about the third time I come through, I thought, well, I'm going to go home through Jasper the next time. That way he don't see me and he don't get me pulled over. But this week I've kind of been coming back into through the church, and I'm trying to be here at least 3 or 4 days out of the week for a few hours. And I really believe that the Word of God is an essential need for right now. And so, but as I was driving around, I drove around up by Sister Moselle's and down by Sister Rhonda's and up into Brother Kay's neighborhood. And then I was able to drive around Stickleyville some, went around the long way by Brother Frank's and Sister Melissa's. And I began to look around and I noticed, especially yesterday, people were not just sitting in their house. But as I drove around, I noticed that some were out mowing, some were out weed eating. Others were working in their shrubs. Others were weeding their flowers and doing all kind of stuff there. Some had almost pulled everything out of their garage or their carport, and they were kindly washing it down and doing all that. And others had their cars out, doors open. They had washed the outside, and they were working on the inside. Basically, a lot of people were enjoying the springtime weather and were outside doing some spring cleaning. And I can only imagine that there was a lot more spring cleaning going on inside the houses. And people are, I know some is painting and investing in their house, but we've all heard the phrase spring cleaning. Basically, when the newness of the season comes, we want what's around us to kindly line up with that, to have that freshness, to have get out with the old and let the new come in. My mama, Lord loves her, and I do too. But she was a neat freak as I was growing up. She had us three boys, and she would have a list of us that we had to do. Every week we had to fold and hang up our clothes, and each one of them had their certain place. And if she happened to do a pop-up inspection, if they were not in the right place or in right hanging up in the closet, then there was a punishment coming. I think it was once a week, but at least it was every 2 weeks we'd get out the dust rags and the pledge, and you'd have to wipe down the furniture, and then you'd spray it with the pledge, and you'd make it shine and polish. And then every night we had to wash the dishes, put up the dishes, sweep the floor, and that's on top of the mowing and the weed eating that you had to do. And then on Saturday, if you finally got done with your chores, she would tell you to go outside, because after you swept that vinyl floor, she was going to mop that floor, and she was going to use mopping glow and pine saw and all that, and you'd come in. But once you went outside, you were outside for the duration, because heaven forbid you walked on her wet floor and tracked it up again. Now, she slacked off a little bit from it, but I think I have PTSD from it. Now, I hate cleaning houses. I hate doing the work, and sometimes it's just got to be done. But I would say that most people don't enjoy or really get a thrill out of cleaning the house. It's a necessary thing that we have to do. So as we're arriving here at Palm Sunday, where we acknowledge the arrival of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem for the last time during his earthly ministry, people are crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But just a week later, less than a week later, some of those same people are going to be crying out, "Crucify him. Let his blood be upon our hands." And one of the reasons that they do that, or they did that, is because they were expecting Jesus to be one thing. They were expecting Jesus to be the great military leader and to establish his literal kingdom here on earth at that time. And then when Jesus didn't pan out what they want him to be, they kindly let emotions go with them. And while we're here in the global pandemic, everything's easy to come to the Lord. I mean, if you look on the internet, if you look on YouTube and on Facebook, there are people out in the streets repenting of their sins, and they're crying out and they're praying. And you know what? Right now, we find it very easy to draw nigh to Jesus, to cry out for his help and to pray that he take this pandemic off of us. It's easy to cry how good and awesome and powerful Christ is. But what's going to happen when the COVID-19 is gone and things begin to come back regular? Are we going to do like we did after the Twin Towers? Churches was full them 3 or 4 weeks there, but then gradually it began to fall off. So today, as we see spring all around us flourishing and new life and growth, as we move closer to the greatest event in human history, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also the greatest gift that has ever been given to humanity, and that is free eternal life in Christ Jesus. What I think we need to talk about this morning, and believe you me, I'm in the same boat, I think we need to, with the Holy Spirit's guidance, that we need to do a little bit of spiritual spring cleaning today. Let me read the passage to you again. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves.' And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." They got very angry and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus said to them, "Yea, have ye never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise?'" And then he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. This is a well-known account of when Jesus Christ comes in and he cleans out the temple. In fact, in each of the Gospels, specifically Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17, and Luke chapter 19, verses 45 through 46, each are presented basically in the same chronological order. After Jesus enters into the city, then one of the next scenes that comes up is Him going into the temple and cleaning it out. Matter of fact, the only major difference, and it's not a major difference if you look in the book of Mark, the only thing that comes in between Him coming into the city and then cleaning out the temple is when He cursed the fig tree. And even in the book of John, the Gospel of John, we see an account of Christ coming in and cleansing the temple. Matter of fact, it says that He was so deliberate when He cleansed that temple that He actually took leather and weaved a whip together as He was cleaning it. He intentionally went in there to clean house. Now, why does John have his in chapter 2 while the other writers have theirs at the end of Christ's life? Well, there's basically two explanations. One is, many people believe that there were actually two times that Jesus went into the temple and cleaned out the temple. Then there's the other explanation, which I lean to, is this. I believe the writer of the Gospel of John had a specific purpose when he wrote the book of John. If you read over in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So I believe what John is doing here is he's writing it so the world will see Jesus as a Savior. What John is doing, I believe, in chapter 2, verses 13 through 25, I believe he's setting the stage for Jesus to come in there. He's setting the stage, showing that there is religious corruption, showing that there is a Savior who's needed to clean house in the religious realm, but also He needs to come in and straighten things out in the spiritual realm. Now, if you believe that Jesus twice cleaned out the temple, that's fine. I mean, none of us can prove either way. But this is where I'm preaching from this morning, and I'm going to be using some accounts from all four of the Gospels. But here's the scene. It's Passover week, one of the most important weeks of Jewish holidays. Here they're celebrating the liberation of the Israelites as they were led by Moses out of Egypt, where the pure, clean lamb was killed, eaten, and His blood was placed on the doorpost. Remember, God said where He finds the blood, He will pass over. But if He doesn't see the blood, then the oldest son would be killed. And think about it. This blew my mind as I studied this week. But there were vast numbers of people that came from great distances. Josephus, a historian from around that time, estimated that there were 3 million people that would come to Jerusalem about that time. And instead of bringing their animals, instead of bringing the sheep with them, they would just wait till they got to Jerusalem so that they could buy the sacrifice there and wouldn't have to feed it the whole way. I read this week out of Josephus in the War of the Jews. It's around chapter 6, passage 9, verse 3. But he estimated, listen at this, he estimated that 254,500 lambs would be killed on the Passover celebration. Let me say that again. 254,500 lambs, individual sheep, would be killed. Imagine the blood that had to be spilled. And then he multiplied that by 10. He said that around 2,540,500 sacrifices. Now, not only were there lambs sacrificed at this time, but we know that there were birds that were sacrificed. It may have even been oxen. So he's saying that there was over 1 million sacrifices that were done during the time of the Passover. This is big business. Think about them. Jesus went in there, and what did he find? He found people selling sheep. He found people selling birds, and what they would do an exchange for the money. If they were from another city or another place and they didn't use the same type of Roman currency, then they would be in exchange there, and they would mark it up and they would make money on that. And then you would have to buy your animal, and they would make money on that as well. Big business. And see, that is what Jesus walked into. His temple had become a sales department, and he rightly was upset. In John chapter 2, verse 17, after he took the whip and he flipped over to the tables, his disciples remembered that it is written, John 2, 17, the zeal of your house consumed me. Or basically, the passion that I have for the Lord's house came over Christ Jesus at that time. Notice, as he turned over the tables and chairs, and he was cleaning house, and then the blind came to him in the temple, Jesus declared, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And we're going to go back to those verses because see, what the apostles noticed over in John chapter 2 verse 17 and what Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 21 verse 13, both of those are quotes from the Old Testament. But Jesus was upset and angry. The chief priests, the scribes, and the other leaders became angry at Jesus. And then they basically had a time of exchange between them and Christ Jesus. So we see that Jesus cleaned house. He took time and he deliberately saw what was going on. And I pray today that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we will take some time to let him show us the issues in our life. And that spiritually, we will move closer to the resurrection with a pure heart and a pure mind. And we'll celebrate it in the way that it deserves. But also, if we'll let the Holy Spirit move through us as we look at this spiritual spring cleaning list, I believe that it'll bless you through the midst of this situation we're in, and it'll continue to draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at the spring cleaning, our spiritual spring cleaning, the first thing is this. Is Christ Jesus truly present in your life? Is Christ Jesus truly present in your life? Look at Matthew 21, the beginning of verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God. A simple phrase, but when it comes to each of us as individuals, whether this statement is a reality or not in our lives will make a difference on where we spend eternity. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. If we talk about how God in the beginning began to mold and fashion humanity, he said, I want to make man and woman in my image. It means I want them to be a representation of me. And then he says, I want him to have my likeness, mean that he would be a figurine. I don't know, you know how you see those old heads of famous people, or Elvis is the one I'm thinking about, and it's molded to fashion to look like Elvis. Well, guess what? If you was to break that thing open, Elvis's head is empty. There's nothing in it. It's just basically an outward thing. So when God created us, and we see over in Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it said that he formed man out of the dust of the ground. And I can almost picture God just forming it together and bringing the dust and the clay together and fashioning even down to the minutest DNA and atom in our body. Not Adam, but atom, A-T-O-M. And then it says that he breathed his breath into us. In the New Testament, the word for breath is pneuma, or spirit. Now, it's not the same in the Hebrew, the Old Testament, but the idea is that when God made us in his presence, he breathed the spirit into us. Not like animals, not like the other ones, but he breathed part of himself into us. But then what happened? Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible says that in that sin, they died physically, because all of us now, we're appointed unto death. But then they also died spiritually. That breath that God had breathed within them was broken. That true life, that eternal life, that connected us, not only physically, but spiritually with our Creator. And listen, we need to recognize and understand that this body, this flesh and blood, all it is a vessel. It's basically like a jar, or it's basically like a car. We use it to get around in this life. But there's a part of us that's going to live somewhere for eternity. Listen, recognize that we were made to be a place that the Holy Spirit was to inhabit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, whether you submit to God or not, whether you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, here's the thing. Your body is not your own. It's just been lent to you for this from God, and at any moment He could reclaim that body. And after that, where would your spirit be? Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Think about that breath that's in you. And the only way that the Spirit can come into your life and to bring that new, fresh living like a cool spring breeze is if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is present in your life. Listen at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, that day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible said in the spiritual realm, just like in the physical realm with Adam and Eve, He blew that breath of life into them. The day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in that moment, the Spirit of God moves inside of us and gives us a new life. So as we're checking our list for our spiritual spring cleaning, I pray you've already asked this, but if you've not, in this moment, ask the Holy Spirit to be honest with you. Is Christ truly present in your life? Or are you being fooled by Satan, religious traditions, and a religious spirit? Oh, today, the number one most important question that you'll ever answer is Jesus in your life? Is He Lord of your life? As we move on a little bit further in our spring cleaning list, and I pray that through the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to check these off and say, okay, one, two, three. The next one is this. Is Christ Jesus preeminent in your life? Is Christ Jesus preeminent in your life? Continue on in Matthew 21, verse 12. And cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seat of them that sold doves. Now, if you're a redneck like me, you don't use the word preeminent very much, but I tried to find P words so that I could make them all kindly rhyme. But what does preeminent mean? It means superior. Supreme in rank, position, and importance. Think about the temple at this time. And remember, what did Josephus? Josephus estimated that there were 3 million people that came to Jerusalem for the Passover. So there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of people in that temple that day. And then there were also a lot of important and impressive people in the temple that day. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. But out of all these people, all the religious folks and all the uppity-ups, no one had more authority, control, or right to be in that temple than Jesus Christ had the right and the authority to be in that temple. Remember, He quotes the Old Testament. Out of Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, these things will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer. When you go back over to Isaiah chapter 56, you'll notice that specifically that chapter is about the coming Messiah, and it's specifically about the coming Messiah bringing in the Gentiles and saving the Gentiles there. But it declares, now think about this. Before, listen, He also says, if you remember over in the book of John, Jesus is confronted by some of the Jews when they begin to say that our father is Abraham. What did Jesus say? John chapter 8, verses 33 and 34. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you not seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus declared himself to be the eternal God, part of the Trinity. Think about it. That temple that he was standing in at that time was built for him. It was built to honor him. It was built to worship him. It was built to make much of who Christ was and to look ahead to the coming of the Messiah. But at that time, the uppity up, the religious crowd, the money mongers and all those there, they tried to make it about them and what they wanted. And they had that temple had nothing to do with them except for a place to worship. It was all about Christ Jesus. And when Jesus walked in there that day, he was the most important. He was the highest in rank. He was supreme authority of that place. And praise God, when he went in there and flipped those tables, he had the highest ranking in there. Now see, think about this today as we're going down through our checklist. Is Jesus present in your life? I tell you a way that we can truly answer that question. Is Jesus the most important thing in our life? Is he supreme in rank? Supreme in position, supreme in importance. Listen, Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, nobody in their right mind would want to go to hell. Nobody in their right mind will want to pass up on Christ's mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But see, here's the main issue. Not everybody in this world is willing to surrender, giving their life to Jesus Christ as supreme in their life. Now, think about that verse out of Luke where he said, if you don't hate your mother and hate your father and your sister and your brother, I don't know of many people that are at least love one of those family members. But what if God's called you and said, I want you to leave your mom and your daddy, your brothers and your sisters, and I'm going to take you to some foreign land. Would you go? Or is the cord too tight? What if they did not accept you as a servant of Jesus Christ and said they won't have anything to do with you unless you give up that Christianity? What would you do? Would you choose Christ over them? Does Christ take a second place in your life to your career? Does he take a second place in your life to sporting events and entertainment? Are you planning to live for yourself now and then later on, once your body's wore out, then you'll give it over to the Lord? You see, Jesus was in the temple. Jesus was preeminent in the temple. He was the most important in that temple that day, even though many could not recognize it. See, that's where we're at today. Jesus says, you've got to be willing to give up everything. I must be the most important in your life. You see, let's go back and think about that first question. Is Jesus really in my life? You see, the second question, if you answer it honestly, will let you know whether how to answer the first question. Have you surrendered and made Him number one in your life today? There's two on our spiritual checklist. House cleaning, spiritual house cleaning. But let's go on to number three. Is the Word of God bringing produce into your life? Is the Word of God bringing produce in your life? Look there, Matthew 21, 13. And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Riding around some last week, I couldn't help but notice that a lot of folks are preparing their gardens. Some have their tractors out turning soils. Others had their tillers out digging down. Yesterday, I had to get over and bug Brother K. Jesse. He was working on a tiller and said he needed a break from it. But I messed him up, but as I went over there, he not only had his garden tilled, but he was cutting up seed potatoes that he was going to plant in his garden. Now, he gave me some seed potatoes, and if it goes anything like the potatoes in my cupboard, I'm going to have a wonderful growth of potatoes this year. But I want you to think about everybody who's working in those gardens. They're expecting to see produce. They're expecting that the seed they put in the ground will produce a product out of that seed and their effort. When we think about Jesus cleansing the temple here, there are two verses that are specifically mentioned. The first one is that over in Isaiah 56 verse 7, which Jesus quoted himself. He said, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house for prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." And then there's another quote by the apostles. It's over in John chapter 2, verse 17, but it's a quote from Psalms chapter 69, verse 9. His disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of your house will consume me." Now, the reality of those two Old Testament verses, Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7, where he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." And Psalm chapter 69 verse 9, where "the zeal of your house has consumed me," or "the passion for the temple has overwhelmed me." The reality of those two verses were fulfilled in the temple that day by the Lord Jesus Christ. His life bare product of the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? His life. In his life, he proved And the produce that he had aligned him with who the Messiah was and declared him to be that Messiah. Listen what Christ declares about his word. Matthew chapter 19 verse 17. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John chapter 14 verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John chapter 15 verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, the Bible teaches us that the word of God, and Jesus said many times, if you love me, there'll be produce of that love in your life. You see, as we look in the Bible, Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43, we see the parable of the sower who slung the seed. The Bible teaches that the Word of God is like a seed. And it does not take a person who grew up on the farm to understand when you plant a seed, you're expecting a product. You're expecting some type of fruit. If you take a corn kernel and you put it in the ground, you're expecting the first thing to be a corn stalk. And then after that, you're expecting that kernel to produce ears of corn on that corn stalk. If you plant an apple seed, you expect for an apple tree to grow. And then after a few years, you're expecting that that apple tree, which came from an apple seed, will again start producing apples. It's product. Tomato seed, tomato plants producing tomatoes. Pecans to a pecan tree, which produces pecans. So on and so on. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you cannot do anything. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." What is the fruit, or what is the product of the Word of God in a person's life? How do we know? What do we see when the seed of God, the Word of God, becomes planted and begins to produce? Well, the first thing that it's going to produce is it's going to produce salvation and a new life. Salvation and a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, that seed produces a new life. Then, what else? It produces a new way of thinking. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It produces a new way of thinking. It produces a new lifestyle. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when the seed is planted in our life, it produces new life. It produces new thinking. It produces a new lifestyle. And you know what else? And there's many more I could go, but I got one more. It produces a desire to serve. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to all men, meaning everybody that comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He gives them a gift. And he goes on to say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, when Jesus is in our life, when Jesus becomes the most important thing in our life, then the Word of God or the seed of God will begin to produce fruit in our life. So, what has God's Word, what has the truth of Christ Jesus produced in your life? If so, what are those products? Can you look in your life today and say, I did not have this in my life before Jesus, but since I've got saved, I can see evidence of Him being number one. I can see evidence of Him being most important. Or are you looking in your life right now and not seeing anything? All you can really say is that I walked the aisle, said some prayer, got wet and put my name on the church list, but there's really been no change. You see, once again, this question, this checklist takes us back to the first on the checklist as we clean ourselves spiritually. That is, if I'm not producing fruit, if the Word is not producing fruit in my life, is Jesus truly present in my life? Is Jesus truly present in my life? One more thing on the checklist. Do you notice the power of Christ Jesus in your life? Do you notice the power of Christ Jesus in your life? Look there at Matthew chapter 21, verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and they were healed. Just imagine how awesome it would have been to see Christ calm the seas and command the wind to lay down. Or the day that He stood at Lazarus' tomb and called him out, and he came back to life. He healed the lepers and put them back together. The blind man seeing for the first time. Deaf ears being opened. Man, what an amazing sight it would have been to witness the power. But yet the greatest of power that Christ Jesus shows is the miracle of salvation in any man or any woman. The Bible says, whosoever will come. But not only that, I want you to thank Christ Jesus. I want you to know this. We have a personal Savior. And Christ Jesus is at work every minute of the day in our lives. Think about that. Jesus Himself is concerned with you, and He's concerned with where you're at right now. He's working. There's some big ones I can talk about where I've seen the hand of God work. One of them is the fact that I ended up here at Thomas Village. From 500 miles away, knowing one person in the church. Another one is God spared my life in the wreck. And after salvation, He worked to get me and Amy together. Greatest gifts I have outside of salvation. But you know, it's not always. It doesn't have to just be the big things. You see, when Jesus is in our life, He's always working. He's moving. He speaks through me. He speaks to me every day through His Word. He meets with me every day in my prayer time. He supplies all my needs, and he gives me some of my wants. I ride down the road and I see the beautiful orange, purple flowers growing on the side of the road. And you know what? I know He lets other people look at them and enjoy them, but my God, He made them just for me that I could enjoy those flowers there. Every day Jesus is at work, even in the bad times, even in the midst of COVID-19, even in the midst of losing our jobs, even in the midst of other sickness, Jesus is there. He's working and He has a plan and He's doing something in your life. It's not easy all the time, but praise God, His power is present. If He's present in your life, then His power is ever present in your life. As you may know, I couldn't help. Brother J.C. Starnes fell last Saturday. He hurt his back. And he's had to be off work this week. And I'm sure, ain't a doubt in my mind that Brother J.C. would rather be at the job instead of having to deal with pains in his back. And I know that Brother Tyler would rather be up at LMU in his classes. But you know what? Even in the midst of this, God lined it up that when Brother J.C. hurt his back, Brother Tyler was there to be able to tote him to the doctor and be there if he needed him. You see, even in the midst of the hardships, God is still there. His power is still moving and working in my life. And I challenge you today. I know that life is not easy. I know that there's difficult times. And you may be looking at a situation that you thought you'd never notice. But God is moving in the midst of that time. And His power is present. And you can trust Him when you can't trust anything else. When you can't trust what you see. When you can't trust what you hear. When the TV's lying to you and the government's lying to you. We can go to this word right here and we can take every word wrote in it. And it's a promise made to you and me. But again, let me ask you. Do you notice the power of Christ Jesus in your life? Because see, if you see the power of Jesus in your life, then guess what? You can answer number one. If the power of Jesus is there, well then 9 times out of 10, then the presence of Jesus will be there as well. And then last things is this. You've heard these questions. Is Jesus present in your life? Is Jesus preeminent in your life? Is Jesus, the Word of Christ, bringing produce in your life? Do you see the power of Jesus in your life? If you've been able to answer these questions, and I know none of us are perfect, but for the most part you can say, yes, I see all those things, then I just want to give you this encouragement. The enemy, if you've got Jesus and all those other things, if you've checked them off, yes, then guess what? The enemy is going to bring problems into your life. Listen there in Matthew 21, 15 through 17. And when the chief priests saw and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. They were mad. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out into the city, into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now think about it. Remember, Jesus, this temple was built for Him. It was built to worship Him and to praise Him. And at that moment, while He was cleaning house, those children, as He healed the lame and the sick, the children were proclaiming it. And that's the way it should have been in the temple. But these chief priests, these scribes, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't love God. You see, they were just simply caught up in tradition. They were in love with position. They were in love with the power they had, and they were consumed by a religious spirit. And I want to just clarify what I mean when I say a religious spirit. It means that you recognize traditions and you hold traditions, but you don't have a relationship. You're just going through the motions. And I believe in America today, that's one of the things that God is trying to do right now. Is He's trying to sweep away this religious tradition type spirit that's on some churches and bring true worship, love back into the church. So when Jesus came to town and He walked in there and began to flip over the tables, their prestige, their power was vulnerable. So they had to shut Him up. So they challenged Him. They argued with Him. They lied about Him. And ultimately they found Judas and made a deal to kill Him. And they put Him on the cross. Some of those that cried on Sunday, Hosanna, on the day Jesus stood before with Pilate, they cried, Crucify. But you know what? They might have thought that they shut Him up. They might have thought that they killed Him. But man, it didn't last for too long. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking about his temple. And praise God, we're looking to Resurrection Sunday. It's coming down the road, and we're going to talk more about it. But see, Jesus had enemies bring problem in his life, and he gave us multiple warnings that if to those that have surrendered to him, those that will surrender to him, and those that are serving him right now, he gave multiple warnings. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the Lord would love you as its own, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." You see, when we have Jesus in our life, He's present. When we allow Him to be the preeminence in our life, when we allow the Word of God to bring produce into our life, and when we begin to see the power of Jesus in our life, then the enemy's going to raise up. But you see, just like with Jesus, they might have thought they were winning, but Sunday came. And I want to tell you this today, no matter where you're at, Jesus has made you some promises today. Listen, Jeremiah 21:19. "He has plans for us of good and not of evil, and to give us a hope and a future." But not only that, Isaiah chapter 45 verse 2, he says this, "I will go before you, I'll level the mountains, and I'll prepare you a way." And then in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he also says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." And you know what? There are hundreds of more promises in this scripture. Those are just a few. But I want to remind you today that, praise God, spring is a season. It's going to move into summer, and then it's going to move into autumn, and then we're going to have winter, and spring will be back again. Wherever you're at in your life, Christian, right now, I want you to know it's not permanent. It's going to pass away. Whether you're on cloud nine or you're in the deepest valley, you're going to move out of it. But the promise is, Jesus is with you. So in closing today, as we've talked about cleaning our spiritual house, spiritual cleaning question, is Jesus truly present in your life? Is Jesus the preeminent or the superior and supreme in your life? Is the Word of Christ bringing produce to your life? Do you notice the power of Christ Jesus in your life? No doubt all of us saw areas that we need to be sweeping, cleaning, upkeeping, by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But remember, I ask you to ask yourself these questions truthfully and honestly. Maybe there's never been a time in your life where Jesus was the most important thing. He was just an add-on, a get-out-of-hell-free card. Pray some magic prayer. Maybe there's never been a time where you experienced real change, where you truly surrendered and said, "I'm going to serve you and you're going to be most important." Have you ever truly known the power of Jesus that can take a spiritually dead man and give him life eternal? See, you might be at a place right now where you're realizing that all you've ever done is religious tradition and half-hearted prayers. Maybe today you recognize that today is the day you need to be saved. And you know what? If you get saved today, if you let Jesus come in your life today, I promise you next Sunday it will mean a whole lot more than Easter eggs and bunnies and candies and family reunions, but it'll be the life of Jesus Christ, that He's alive. See, all you got to do today, you don't need me to be there with you. You don't need some priest to be there. You just simply say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I've broke your laws, and I'm sorry, and I know I deserve punishment, but I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and if you'll save me today, I'll live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen." And then you can go to Romans chapter 10. Read that, and it'll tell you that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, or being right with God, and with the mouth confession is made. And then I tell you what, this is what you need to do. If you've done that today, then I want to ask you to go tell somebody. Call somebody. You can call me. You can call the church. I'll be around here this afternoon. You can put it on our Facebook page. You can send it to us in an email. And even if it's not to us, call a friend, call a pastor, call a deacon. Let them know that life of Jesus is come. He is now present in your life. And maybe you're on the other end. You know you ain't perfect, but there's been a time you know that Jesus saved you. There's a time where He was most important in your life, but you're just not slowing down enough to see His power. And you're not letting the Word of God come in so that it can bring produce. Well, guess what? I pray today that you'll just simply draw close to Him. Because He said, I'll never leave you. And then maybe today you're doing your best to serve Him. I want to tell you, keep your heads up. Because just as our yearly celebration with His resurrection, it will not be long until Jesus Christ comes again and delivers us from this world of sin. Glory to God in the highest. I didn't forget. No, just remember these things. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your life to Him today, praise God, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Come back and be with us tonight. We're going to see some do's and don'ts from a donkey, and we'll go through some prayer needs. I love you. Can't wait to see you again. Bye-bye.